When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We begin front and center this morning with our thought leader conversation. This morning, Greg Warsek talks to Bennett Wakenight, our executive producer here on the program. They sat down together just before the holiday to talk about the commercial real estate market, the year gone, and the year ahead.
Greg, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Well, good morning, Bennett. Great to be here. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Hopefully your holidays were festive and celebratory, and you're ready for the new year.
I'm ready. It was great.
2019, just gearing up, a few days in under our belts, but I think there was enough happening in 2018 that we can also take a brief look back before we dive into moving forward and going to 2019. So let's revisit a few of the major shakers going on in the industry as far as commercial real estate. There were a few things that we pointed out. First off, it was a pretty straightforward year. You know, interest rates were on everyone's radars. It wasn't super surprising as far as the ebbs and flows. But what stood out to you as one of the top movers and shakers as far as going on in the commercial real estate industry in 2018?
You know, I guess my biggest takeaway from 2018 in terms of interest rates were that coming into the year, I think there was some concerns about the Fed's desire to increase rates to keep inflation under control. And the reality is, despite those increases, real estate developers kept chugging along. It did not slow anything down. It was a very strong year again from a loan demand perspective. There was a lot of new projects going on, a lot of properties changing hands. So, you know, short-term rates were at historical lows. And I think the savvy real estate developers understood that, you know, 25, 50, 75 basis point increases, still at the end of the day, that's a good rate on the loans that they're paying. And even looking forward, you know, into 19, I think it's going to be more of the same. I don't think there's any forecasted rate increases that are going to subside, create any dampening of you, if you will, on loan demand and new projects that are going.
Sure. It seemed like with the larger picture of the economy, everyone's really kind of focused either on, you know, what's going on in Wall Street or, you know, residential interest rates, that impact. But it seemed like you said, commercial real estate was able to just kind of truck along, move forward and get everything done that needed to get done.
Yeah, absolutely.
So another one of the aspects that we pointed out for and touched on earlier on in the year of 2018, retail bankruptcies. We saw a lot of companies come and go, some really big ones like Toys R Us, Payless, H.H. Gregg. But it noted in a report that last year in 2017, 21 major retail bankruptcies occurred, but in 2018, only 15 occurred. So is that leading us down a better road, or is that, you know, something that just kind of ebbs and flows and we just kind of take a look at?
I think it's more of a kind of an ebb and flow kind of thing. You know, if you didn't know that statistic, you would swear that in 2018, given the level of press around bankruptcies and especially Sears, you would swear there was, you know, two times as many in 2018 that as in 2017. And the reality is that, you know, the retail business is changing every year. There's bankruptcies in good times and bad with retail. It's models that have run their course and people go out of business, but there's new ones to take their place. And so, you know, I think it is a sort of an ebb and flow. I think the disruption, like with Sears and TJ Maxx, create opportunities. You know, it's retail's going to be different in the future. And so the savvy retail developers that we work with, they look at this as opportunity. They don't get too concerned. And frankly, that's our position as well. We're seeing it as an opportunity to finance new projects, reposition projects. And there's a lot of interesting ones out there that we're looking at.
Yeah. There was actually a report a couple of weeks ago showing from, I believe it was from Cranes, showing that all of these vacancies in malls is getting turned into something that was before a commercial real estate development was now turning into apartments, because they say we have all this space, we have all this demand. Why not? This is something that we can capitalize on.
Yeah, it's you know, we're working on a project right now that we did for a client up in suburban Milwaukee, where they tore down the Sears store as part of that mall. It's in Brookfield. and they're putting up a theater, a whirly ball, and a bunch of restaurants, fast casual and nice restaurants, creating an entertainment venue and a big draw, really. And it's just repositioning a great asset with, you know, phenomenal demographics around it. You know, a similar example would be here in Chicago in Northbrook. You got Northbrook Mall, great real estate, surrounded, you know, great demographics, rooftops all around. You know, that's going to be a reposition that I think is going to be very successful. It's going to incorporate a lot of different uses.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be on the big radar as far as all that. And leading into that, a lot of the commercial space that was on the radar was the shift from the suburban areas to the downtown areas, and that was another big factor in 2018 as well.
Yeah, I think there's going to be, you're going to continue to see that. There's a big push to move into the CBD. A lot of the millennials, and not just the millennials, it's the new generation coming behind them that are focused on living in the city, and that's where that talent is. So I think that's always going to be a component. But it's interesting, we're actually starting to see trends where the millennials that are in their 30s are starting to move out to the suburbs. They don't move out too far, but it's interesting, you know, looking at train lines, distance, commute times, good school districts, that inner circle is going to be a high growth area.
Sure. And speaking of, you know, going forward, we'll take a look now at 2019 and what we see on the horizon and what trends are popping up as they continue to move along. One of the from an article that we were able to pull, one of the big ones that I know you and Steve touched on earlier in last year were opportunity zones, and those being a big boom for investors, but also, you know, surrounding neighborhoods and areas as well.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out in 2019, because in late 2018 there was finally some guidance from the federal government on how that was going to look. And so people read it, they're digesting it, they're trying to figure out how to execute on it. So I think that a lot of that's going to play out in 2019, and you're going to start seeing funds created. There's a lot of capital out there that's looking at this as a huge opportunity. So it could be a game changer in some areas that in need of development. So that's definitely one to monitor in 2019. That could be an interesting one.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be, you know, that side of investing, you know, from a larger perspective and from a you know, more consumer perspective, that people want to make sure their business is impacting good and doing everything they can to help everything out. So another trend that we've taken a look at going on in 2019 is online retailers continuing to open brick and mortar stores. That's whether it's a pop-up shop or a more permanent establishment like an Amazon Go store we were talking about a little bit earlier.
Right. I think that's, again, the retail industry trying to figure out that equilibrium, trying to figure out their omni-channel delivery in terms of their brick and mortar with their e-commerce component. I don't think it's one or the other. I think there's some sort of complement, and I think a lot of the successful retailers that are thoughtful in their approach to their business model are trying to figure out that balance right now. So, you know, a lot of the news in 17 and 18 was, oh my gosh, the sky is falling, e-commerce is coming, and all retail is going to be gone. Obviously overblown by the press. So, you know, there were closures, there were businesses that were impacted by e-commerce to some extent, but I think the savvy retailers are in 19 will continue to find that equilibrium, if you will, and there's going to be new bricks and mortar coming as a result of that.
Sure. And I was fascinated watching throughout the year of the pop-up side of brick and mortar, where a company might be or a product might be in a space for 2 or 3 months and then back to the online presence as to what they're known best for. How has that impacted, if at all, the way that brick and mortar has been looked at from a commercial space?
You know, that's a good question. We see that in some of the projects that we finance where a tenant will come in short term, generally around the holidays. But a lot of it for them is testing. You know, instead of making the capital investment or lease commitment, the new concept now is to come in as a pop-up, test it, see how it goes at that location and maybe others before rolling out a broader program.
Yeah, that's Steve Grzanich actually earlier in the year, he was talking to Tovala, which we were talking about off mic. That was one of the ways that they got their product out to the people and how they were planning to move things forward. If there was a demand, they would jump up and find a space and they would say, hey, we're here. And they would, you know, based on the, what their customers were saying, that's how they would kind of approach their real estate, which is a new way of going about things, I feel like.
Well, I think it's a smart approach. Again, sure. You know, why make the capital investment until you're sure that there's a payoff? You have landlords that are willing to be flexible and test it. What's in it for the landlord? If it works in that location, they end up executing a longer-term lease. Yeah. Why not? It's a vacant space anyway.
It's a win-win. Another one of the larger space conversations for commercial real estate was were the co-working spaces. We saw a ton of those throughout the year, not just in Chicago, all across the country. WeWork announced a couple of weeks ago that they're opening up their ninth office in 2019, and they have over 500,000 square feet in Chicago alone of space that businesses use, you know, independent contractors, startups. It's a wild world out there for the co-working space.
It really is. And it's not just WeWork. There are a lot of companies right out there, and they now control an amazing amount of space in downtown Chicago. And it's hard to tell how that's all going to shake out. You know, if there's a downturn, what happens? And, you know, from a lending perspective, that's what we're always trying to figure out is if we're financing an office building, frankly, we don't want to have too much. We don't want to see the landlord too committed to this co-work space just because it's unproven in a downturn. But so far, it seems to be working really well because the value proposition for a company is that flexibility. Yeah. Again, getting back to the pop-ups on the retail side, really no different. You can come into a WeWork short-term, you know, see how it goes as you're building the office. The piece that resonated with me in 2018 was the fact that CBRE made the commitment to create a business around it. And that's smart, institutional, savvy real estate people saying, this isn't going away. We see this as the future.
Right.
So now, to me, there's real credibility to this space.
Yeah, it's on the mainstream that everyone, you know, can get involved in.
Exactly.
So any other things or trends or factors that are a little bit on your radar as we move forward into 2019 that we should know about?
You know, everything I read kind of leading into this year was that 19 was going to be a lot of the same.
Yeah.
Steady as she goes. I mean, the CBRE forecast for 2019 is that it was very optimistic despite all the noise out there with negative indicators and when's the downturn coming. There's still an awful lot of strong other indicators which suggest that that downturn isn't coming. So I think everybody's trying to predict and stay ahead of that. In the meantime, there's just too many good deals that are out there that people just can't pass up. And so we still are bullish on 2019.
Greg, how can people get in touch with you or your team and have a similar conversation about this?
The best way to reach me is always email, always available, greg.warsek@associatedbank.com.
Perfect, Greg. Thanks so much for coming in, and happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Bennett.
Now, that's Greg Warsek, the Senior Vice President and Regional Manager for the Chicago Market for Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank with WGN's Bennett Wakenight. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com on the Opening Bell page and follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter, and also head over to AssociatedBank.com/thoughtleadership for more conversations and more on our thought leaders.